堂听 class.com。
Model Test 9, Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Number 11. If you hadn't told me about your birthday, I might have gone home.
They would be unhappy if you didn't turn up.
Question, what is the woman going to do? Number 12. Well, I like classical music, and I go to the concert every weekend.
Classical music is my favorite, but I used to like pop music very much. Pop music, you see.
Question, what do the man and the woman have in common? Number 13. The football match is terrible. It is so violent and noisy.
I certainly can't agree with you on that point.
Question, what does the man think of the football match?
Number 14. Excuse me, can you lend me your calculator?
I'd like to, but I gave it to my sister last week, and I haven't bought a new one.
Question, what does the woman mean?
Number 15. I wonder if you have time to go to the food store today. We have almost run out of bread.
You'd better do that. I haven't got my report ready yet, and my boss needs it tomorrow.
Question, why isn't the man going to do the shopping? Number 16. Could we drop by the lab for a minute? I have some experiments running that I need to check on before dinner.
Sure. I have plenty of time. I'd be interested to see what you're working on, anyway.
Question, what will they do? Number 17. Has the technician called about the repair yet?
When he does, I will have you talk to him.
Question, what does the man mean?
Number 18. If you like to take the package with, miss, it won't take long to wrap.
There's no rush. Could you have it delivered this week?
Question, what does the woman mean?
Now, you'll hear 2 long conversations. Conversation 1.
Hello, Miss Kelly. I'd like to pick up my test, please.
Sure. Whose class are you in?
Dr. Purcell's math class.
And your name?
My last name is Raleigh. R-A-L-E-I-G-H.
That's right. Jim Raleigh. Here it is.
Thank you. And Terry Young's test, too, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't let you take someone else's test.
He's sick, and he can't come in to get it. He's my roommate.
I understand, but the Privacy Act won't permit it.
Really? Maybe you could tell him.
Not even then. I can only give a test to the student whose name appears on it. I can't even give it to a family member.
That's bad.
I think so, too. Frankly, but that's the law.
Okay, I'll tell Terry. Thanks anyways.
You're welcome. Tell him I'll just keep his test here until he feels better and can come in for it himself.
Okay, I'll do that.
Have a nice day, Jim.
You too, Miss Kelly.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Number 19. What does the speakers mainly discuss?
Number 20. Why can't the woman give Terry Young's test to the man?
Number 21. What is the man's last name?
Number 22. What will the man most probably do?
Conversation 2. What started you in computers?
I built my first computer when I was in junior high school. I was an enthusiastic reader. I studied everything I could get my hands on. Then I turned to building my own machine. From that point on, I was hooked.
Where do you see computers as going in the future?
This will be the era of distributed devices, some of which will be in your walls, some of which you will wear, some of which will be in your cars and throughout your house, and maybe one of which will be on your desk. Devices with processors in them will be everywhere. They will be connected, and they will look less and less like traditional PCs.
What kind of computer do you have now?
My primary machine is a heavily loaded Power Mac, which I use to write all my books and to do my video editing. I've also got a Toshiba notebook, which I use for all my work at the company and for email.
There are critics who say that technology is dangerous and is moving so fast. What's your reaction?
There is criticism voiced in every generation. One can't stop this kind of progress, so the critics you cite above are cursing the dark. That being said, it's important to always consider the implications of the technology we create, for they have social impact.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Number 23. What happened after the man built his first computer?
Number 24. What does the man see the future of computers?
Number 25. What does the man say about the criticism of technology? Section B, Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Passage 1. Education is required and free for every child in the United States. Most children start by the age of 6. They attend 8 years of elementary school and 4 years of secondary school. The money for free public schools comes from taxes, and each state is responsible for its own educational system. State legislators set the educational requirements, but leave the management of the schools in the hands of the local communities. Most states require their children to go to school until a certain age. This age varies from 16 to 18 years, according to the laws of the individual states. The federal government contributes funds to the states for additional schools and school services. After graduation from high school, a student can start his higher education in a 2-year college, a 4-year college, a university, or a specialized professional school, either public or private. Most colleges admit students on the basis of their high school records. The cost of a college education is expensive in private universities, but it is much less in those supported by states and cities. Many students receive scholarships from schools, the government, or private foundations and organizations. More than 50% of college students work to help pay their college expenses. Only 2% of the population of the country cannot read and write. Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Number 26. Where does the money for public schools come from?
Number 27. What is the educational system in the United States based on?
Number 28. What percentage of the population is illiterate? Passage 2. My friend Vernon Davies keeps birds. One day he phoned and told me he was going away for a week. He asked me to feed the birds for him and said that he would leave the key to his front door in my mailbox. Unfortunately, I forgot all about the birds until the night before Vernon was going to return. What was worse, it was already dark when I arrived at his house. I soon found the key Vernon gave me could not unlock either the front door or the back door. I was getting desperate. I kept thinking of what Vernon would say when he came back. I was just going to give up when I noticed that one bedroom window was slightly open. I found a barrel and pushed it under the window. As the barrel was very heavy, I made a lot of noise. But in the end, I managed to climb up and open the window. I had actually had one leg inside the bedroom when I suddenly realized that someone was shining a torch up at me. I looked down and saw a policeman and an old lady, one of Vernon's neighbors. "What are you doing up there?" said the policeman. Feeling like a complete fool, I replied, "I was just going to feed Mr. Davies' birds."
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Number 29. Why couldn't the man open the door?
Number 30. Why did the man feel desperate?
Number 31. Why did the man feel like a fool? Passage 3. Are you 40 years old and fat? Do you wear heavy underwear? Do you look rich? If so, be careful. There is a pickpocket looking for you. World travelers away from home and usually carrying much money are often troubled by pickpockets in foreign countries. But they should remember that there are pickpockets in their own country too. A typical pickpocket is under 40 years of age, usually a male. Generally, he carries a newspaper or magazine in his hand. He is rather intelligent. He has learned his job from another pickpocket, and he repays his teacher by giving him a percentage of the money, jewelry, or watches which he steals. The good pickpocket always operates in crowded places. Very well-dressed men and slightly drunken men are the favorite victims of the pickpocket. An average-sized department store hires about 6 or 7 full-time detectives. These men and women are constantly looking for pickpockets. Many police districts have detectives whose only job is the speedy arrest of pickpockets. But a good pickpocket knows these things and is very careful. He is especially busy on buses, trains, and subways between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., when there are many shoppers with much money to spend. He carefully memorizes the payday, too. Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Number 32. Who is not mentioned as the target of a pickpocket in this passage?
Number 33. Where does a pickpocket always operate crimes?
Number 34. What is the job of detectives in a department store?
Number 35. What do we learn from this passage? Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the 2nd time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the 3rd time, you should check what you have written.
In In a competitive economy, the consumer usually has the choice of several different brands of the same product. Yet underneath their labels, the products are often nearly identical. One manufacturer's toothpaste tends to differ very little from another manufacturer's. Thus, manufacturers are confronted with a problem: how to keep sales high enough to stay in business. Manufacturers solve this problem by advertising. They try to appeal to consumers in various ways. In fact, advertisements may be classified into three types according to the kind of appeals they use. One type of advertisement tries to appeal to the consumer's reasoning mind. It may offer a claim that seems scientific. For example, it may say the dentists recommend flash toothpaste. In selling a product, the truth of the advertising may be less important than the appearance of the truth. A scientific approach gives the appearance of truth. Another type of advertisement tries to amuse the potential buyer. Products that are essentially boring, such as insecticide, are often advertised in an amusing way. One type of doing this is to make the products appear alive. For example, the advertisers may personify cans of insecticide and show them attacking mean-faced bugs. Ads of this sort are silly, but they also tend to be amusing. Advertisers believe that consumers are likely to remember and buy products the consumers associate with fun.
Now this passage will be repeated.
In a competitive economy, the consumer usually has the choice of several different brands of the same product. Yet underneath their labels, the products are often nearly identical. One manufacturer's toothpaste tends to differ very little from another manufacturer's. Thus, manufacturers are confronted with a problem: how to keep sales high enough to stay in business. Manufacturers solve this problem by advertising. They try to appeal to consumers in various ways. In fact, advertisements may be classified into three types according to the kind of appeals they use. One type of advertisement tries to appeal to the consumer's reasoning mind. It may offer a claim that seems scientific. For example, it may say the dentists recommend flash toothpaste. In selling a product, the truth of the advertising may be less important than the appearance of the truth. Scientific approach gives the appearance of truth. Another type of advertisement tries to amuse the potential buyer. Products that are essentially boring, such as insecticide, are often advertised in an amusing way. One type of doing this is to make the products appear alive. For example, the advertisers may personify cans of insecticide and show them attacking mean-faced bugs. Ads of this sort are silly, but they also tend to be amusing. Advertisers believe that consumers are likely to remember and buy products that the consumers associate with fun.
Now this passage will be repeated again.
In a competitive economy, the consumer usually has the choice of several different brands of the same product. Yet underneath their labels, the products are often nearly identical. One manufacturer's toothpaste tends to differ very little from another manufacturer's. Thus, manufacturers are confronted with a problem: how to keep sales high enough to stay in business. Manufacturers solve this problem by advertising. They try to appeal to consumers in various ways. In fact, advertisements may be classified into three types according to the kind of appeals they use. One type of advertisement tries to appeal to the consumer's reasoning mind. It may offer a claim that seems scientific. For example, it may say the dentists recommend flash toothpaste. In selling a product, the truth of the advertising may be less important than the appearance of the truth. A scientific approach gives the appearance of truth. Another type of advertisement tries to amuse the potential buyer. Products that are essentially boring, such as insecticide, are often advertised in an amusing way. One type of doing this is to make the products appear alive. For example, the advertisers may personify cans of insecticide and show them attacking mean-faced bugs. Ads of this sort are silly, but they also tend to be amusing. Advertisers believe that consumers are likely to remember and buy products that the consumers associate with fun.